The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed anything that we did in the first hour, lots of good stuff. All available on our website, ESPN975.com. Full show podcast. Talked a lot of college football in the first hour. And you can also catch us on TuneIn Radio. You can catch us on the ESPN Radio app. And, of course, the old-fashioned way on 97.5 FM. And also, this is a Local Music Tuesday. So all the bumpers you hear, with the exception of what you just heard, which, of course, are our usual songs that we open hours with, all the bumper music from local bands. If you like what you hear, just tweet Jong, at Jongi Football. And he'll tell you what the band and the song was, so you can check them out. So lots of good stuff. Really hoping to help out the local folks. And I'm going to share the story again, because I know a lot of you guys weren't here yesterday to listen, because we keep getting the same questions we did yesterday, which is cool. I get people had time off. We're out of town. But I got this from one of the guys at 12 Years Driven, and he sent me a message on Facebook. And I want to share it because it just shows how much I love the Blitzers. Said, I thought you might get a kick out of this. The show we had Saturday night, a couple came and bought $45 worth of shirts and CDs and handed me an extra $20 just because they loved the show. They said they heard us on the Blitz last week and scheduled date night to come see us. That's just cool. So whoever did that, thank you for that. And, I mean, that's kind of why I wanted to do this, so you guys could hear some of these bands and realize, hey, man, there's some talent out there. Go check them out. So, anyway, that's the... Yeah, that's what we're doing with this, and you know that's why I love the Blitzers so much, just because you guys do stuff like that. You're cool people. Now you're going to hate me because I'm going to do my top 25, and let me tell you exactly how I'm doing this, okay? This is not based on the AP. This is not based on preseason. This is not based on anything but what happened this week, okay?
Okay.
Now, it's obviously there's some teams you know are going to be better going in, and... So what I've tried to do here, and when you get to the top 10, I don't think there's going to be any real surprises. The bottom, there's a couple. So, LSU fan, you're not in there because you didn't play.
Okay. Now, when I give my top 25, it's more of a standard top 25.
So
it's
you're doing the traditional top 25.
More of a traditional top 25, but I also have a bottom five Power 5 conference teams.
All right.
Well, the five most embarrassing teams.
What I guess I'm trying to do with this is the same thing that the committee is going to do week to week. So
I'll play like that. Later in the season, once we get a little more of a...
I'm being a little more ballsy.
You're ballsier, yeah.
But, for instance, like where Texas A&M is now, they may not be there in 2 weeks because we may find out that Arizona State sucks, and so you'll start downgrading them. But this is based on 1 week what we thought teams were going to be. Now, LSU doesn't make it. Boise doesn't make it because I wasn't impressed with them, and I wasn't impressed with Missouri's win. So those are three
teams. Mizzou beat the hell out of that team.
That's not a good team. And
well,
it wasn't
none of
that
these
bad.
Guys, most no. of these guys didn't play
no,
good
but,
teams week one.
But I thought for what they should have done against that team, they didn't impress me. So, and Northwestern's not on here because I thought Stanford was garbage going in. So, anyway,
I mean 34-3 is pretty solid.
They should have hung 60 on them though, right. And that's the standard. Okay, so. That's why I have Florida 25. Florida was supposed to do that to that team. I like the way they look.
They did give up 14 points.
Yeah, but they...
Cost me an under. A painful under, mind you.
That's your own fault.
Yeah.
24th, I put Temple because Penn State was supposed to be one of those sleeper teams in the Big Ten. Now, it turns out they may be garbage, and we'll find out with Temple this week. They're actually underdogs at Cincinnati. they go into Cincinnati and get killed, they're gone. That's how this thing's going to work. Mississippi State at 23, I don't think they were as impressive as they could have been. Tennessee at 22. 21, I have the Cal Golden Bears.
All right.
Ole Miss at 20. At 19, I have Utah. 18, Clemson. 17, I have Okie Light.
Ooh.
Here's one that you probably don't have. At number 16, I have BYU.
Okie Light's not even in mine. Yeah. And 16, I left BYU out because I think without Taysom Hill, that team is going nowhere.
I actually like this quarterback.
But given what they've done.
Going in and beating Nebraska.
If you're looking at it unobjectively, then
right.
Yeah, I'm just making the assumption that it ain't going to work out.
Now, there's some teams that are farther down here. Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the difference in it. I'm solely performance-based. And some subjective thoughts on how good these teams may or may not be. 15, Florida State.
Oh, that's a little bit low.
It is a little bit low, but I'm not that impressed with them right now. We'll see. They have a chance to move up. They'll have some high-profile games. At number 14, I have Baylor.
Ooh, okay.
Wasn't impressed by what they did against SMU. They did not cover the 37 points, which I'm glad they didn't because I bet SMU. 13, Arkansas. And let me ask you a question. If Arkansas played Baylor right now, who do you think would win?
Where's the game at?
Neutral site.
I'd probably take Arkansas.
So would I.
But the reality is Baylor would never play Arkansas.
Of course they would. All right, at number 12, and simply because I thought they were impressive offensively, but you can't give up 42 points to Eastern Washington, I have Oregon.
Okay.
At number 11, I have the Oklahoma Sooners. I was real impressed with their offense. I know Akron's not very good.
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to see out of them, was go in and just crush those guys, and they did. And number 10? I have the Georgia Bulldogs, who aren't even the best team in Georgia right now.
No.
I have Georgia Tech number 9. All right. At number 8, I have TCU, mainly because I wasn't impressed, but they did go in and get a win on the road, and they'll have an opportunity to move up later. At 7, I had Auburn. I thought more impressive beating Louisville by throwing 3 interceptions than TCU winning at Minnesota, but not by much. I had those two pretty close.
Louisville's a pretty decent team.
I think they are pretty decent. At number 6, I have Notre Dame.
Okay.
And, again, that's because I don't know how good Notre Dame is or how bad Texas is, but as dominant as they were, they have to be in my top 6. Now, this team did not beat as good a team, but I thought offensively they looked about as good as you can look with a true freshman at quarterback. I have UCLA at number 5.
Okay.
At number 4, I have the Texas A&M Aggies. I thought they had the second most impressive victory of the weekend against a team that a lot of people had as a dark horse national championship candidate. Now, again, they looked great last year to start off. But as of 1 week, this could change a lot next week. I have them number 4. At number 3, I have the USC Trojans. I know they didn't play anybody either, but they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They stomped a hole in them, and they didn't ask any questions. They just kicked ass. Number 2, probably the most impressive win against the top 25 team. I thought Alabama fairly dominated Wisconsin, thought they deserved to be number 2. And certainly Ohio State didn't do anything to not prove they're the best team in the country. Going into Blacksburg is never easy. They were really good in the fourth quarter. Ohio State, number 1. So my top 5, Ohio State, Alabama, USC, A&M, UCLA.
Where'd you have Michigan State?
Michigan State I had at – where did I have Michigan State? Michigan State was supposed to be ahead of Oklahoma. Yeah, Georgia's 10, Michigan State's 11, Oklahoma's 12.
Okay.
So move everybody down one.
So someone who got kicked out of your top 25?
Well, I had Cal in there twice. That's what happened.
Oh, okay.
When I moved stuff around. That happens.
All right.
Okay.
I'll go through mine pretty quickly.
Okay.
Number 25, I have the only team with a loss, which is Wisconsin. I mean, I don't think there was any shame in that loss. I still think they'll be in the top 25 by the time it's said and done. 24, I've got Mississippi State. 23, Boise. 22, Mizzou. 21, Arizona. 20, Utah. 19, Aggie. 18, Mississippi. 17, LSU. 16, OU. Clemson, 15. Arkansas, 14. Georgia Tech, 13. Georgia, 12. Florida State, 11. UCLA, 10. Notre Dame, 9. Baylor, 8. Oregon, 7. Auburn, 6. TCU, 5. Or, no, USC 5, TCU 4, Michigan State 3, Bama 2, OSU 1.
Okay.
You want to hear the bottom five? That's what I know everybody
Let's do the bottom five. Yeah, that'll be much more fun.
All right. With the bottom five, I'm going to give at least a little bit of credit to Wake Forest and Indiana. Even though I know both of those programs are terrible this year, Indiana beat Southern Illinois by a 1 point. So I'm going to leave them off the bottom five.
And you know what?
And Wake Forest housed Elon College, so I'm going to leave them off for now.
And Illinois, who probably was going to belong on this list, actually won.
They did win.
Yeah.
Number five, I'll go Vanderbilt.
They're bad. They're
bad. I mean, not just SEC bad. They're everything
bad. They're football bad.
Number four, Colorado. And, I mean, going to Hawaii is not easy, but Colorado's pretty bad, too. They'll probably be – they'll work their way off this list because I don't think they're going to be that bad, but it's not a good start. Number three, Purdue. Number two, Washington State, who had the most embarrassing loss of the weekend, I think.
Yeah, that's brutal.
And number one, the Kansas Jayhawks. It's going to be hard to fight them off the tower.
Hmm. Anyway, and just one thing I'd point out is, I mean, I'm trying to do this solely performance-based. So ARB says, why do you guys hate Baylor so much? I admit their defense was not pretty, but I think it only gets better. Because you know what? It's going to be
hard. You think it only gets better when they test themselves against?
Yeah, well, but they're not going to get tested until they play OU and TCU, and that's the problem. I'm not going to give them credit for a good win until they get one. And, yeah, they did what they were supposed to. They beat SMU, but, you know, I do factor in the betting lines into some of these. And if you didn't cover the spread, I'm going to downgrade you a little bit because Vegas kind of knows this stuff. It's not a matter of hating Baylor. Just I don't think Baylor's going to get a chance to prove itself until they play TCU or Oklahoma. I mean, who else on their schedule do you look at and say, okay, this will be a test game for them?
Yeah.
And to me, the way the committee did it last year, and you know, I'm not going to keep beating to death the fact that they don't schedule anybody. I know they're trying now because they're starting to realize that this is going to happen every year. One loss is going to keep them out because they're not going to have any quality wins. But until they have those quality wins, if Baylor had done to Arizona State what A&M did, I'd have them up there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I was impressed with that win. Anyway, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. If you want to get in. Baylor fans all mad. Listen, here's what you're up against because your schedule's so lousy. And you have so few high-profile games that you've got to prove to me you're better than these teams ahead of you before I can put you higher. Texter says, Oakman didn't play for Baylor. Michigan State barely won, and Oregon got into a shootout with an FCS school. How do you say that's better than a 34-point win over SMU?
Just because going into the season, I thought Baylor was overrated.
And if you put Oregon and Baylor on the same field right now, I think Oregon wins. I think Oregon wins clearly. And as far as Michigan State, they went on the road.
I don't know if they win clearly, but
they'll roll up 90 on that team with that defense. It'll be 90-60, but they'll win. 30-point win. And Michigan State, which I don't count bowl games in any of this stuff ever.
Yeah, but we could count you, Baylor.
But I have to in this case because you don't play enough good teams. So what happened when you played them? And by the way, they went on the road to a Western Michigan team that was in the MAC championship last year and made a bowl game. That's not easy. When you're that's like when Texas was good going on the road and playing, you know, UH when UH was good. That's just something that in-state schools don't do very often. So not exactly a walkover game.
I do think all year long it's going to be hard to give Big 12 schools a fair shake in the polling because
I think they've got three good teams and whoever.
I mean, once they start playing each other, we'll know a little bit. But
and if you beat Oklahoma and TCU both, and those teams haven't lost anybody else, And by the way, Oklahoma's got a big one this week with Tennessee.
Yeah, and Michigan State and Oregon play, and we're going to know pretty quickly which one of those teams is closer to real. But when you do nothing out of conference, and your conference is the worst of the Power Five, it's hard to give you as much credit. Yeah. And that's why.
And this 8-3-2 Baylor idiot starting to piss me off. Said, you said 1 week, didn't realize you switched it to the whole season now. No, I specifically said, based on what I thought these teams were going in versus what they did. Not what they're going to do, what they did in week one, and a subjective opinion of what I thought the teams were, which is why I didn't put Northwestern in there, because I didn't think Stanford was worth the crap.
Listen, I didn't
think... And I think Oregon is better than you going in. You've got to prove that to me. That's all.
TCU didn't impress me, but the fact that they went on the road to Minnesota, but I thought, I mean, yeah, that's something.
That's, you know what? If Baylor had gone on the road and beat Minnesota even that close of a game, I'd have them much higher. That's a better game. Minnesota was a bowl team last year. You're going on the road playing a Thursday night game in a Big Ten, against a Big Ten team. That's a good win. I know they didn't look great, and that's why I downgraded them a little bit, but I'm not downgrading them as much as I am Baylor.
You know when Baylor probably plays the first team that's going to be considered like maybe a good team, like a good test? They're going to already be 7-0.
Huh?
SMU, Lamar, Rice, Texas Tech, Kansas, West Virginia, Iowa State, all before they play at Kansas State. So, if you're a Baylor fan and you're wanting, you know, respect from national media, you may want to send a letter to the AD and tell him to do some scheduling work.
And they are trying to play Arkansas, but that'll be what, 2020?
I'll be
somewhere
dead
in there.
I'll be long gone by then.
Yeah, and you know that's the thing. They can't help the conference schedule. I mean, that's what it is. I don't mind them playing Rice. At least that's a team that, you know, theoretically is from a group of five conference, but at least that's an okay game. But come on, man, Lamar. You know, SMU was supposed to be better. It's not really their fault that they turn out to be crap, but you shouldn't be playing Lamar. I mean, that's – you can't find somebody else.
Jeremy says, does anyone truly have a shot against the Buckeyes, especially in the four-team tourney? I think – I'm never going to say Alabama doesn't have a shot. I think we'll see how USC develops. I mean, I think there are teams that there's even UCLA. There are teams so far to me that are intriguing. We'll see what TCU can do as the season goes on. I still think Michigan State, if they play, you know, the best game they can play, they can beat Ohio State. But it's just a matter of if that's what happens that day.
But
Ohio State does look pretty good.
And 912 says Georgia will be 4-0 in October 3rd going into the Bama game. Well, Georgia, the thing about a team like Georgia, which every year they're supposed to be better than they are and they wind up losing a couple games, they'll have plenty of chances to prove whether or not they're really good.
Right.
So it doesn't matter where they are now. I mean, they can be 10 now, but if they beat Alabama and they win the East and don't lose, they're moving up. I'm dubious of Georgia just because they're one of those teams that every year – I'll put Clemson in there, Virginia Tech in there. They're always supposed to be good, and then they're always good, but they're never at that level that where they can be competing for national championships.
Well, one thing I will say for Georgia though is every single year, they have a built-in matchup with Georgia Tech. They play a Power Five school every single year.
And when you look up at the end of the season, they're going to have a body of work that's good enough if they're good enough. So you don't really need to worry about where they are right now.
Yeah, Georgia, if Georgia has one loss at the end of the season,
they're in.
They're in, and they should be, because that means that they either beat Alabama or Auburn or both, and Georgia Tech, and they won the SEC title game. They're in.
And but South Carolina, which is no dog. I mean, at Tennessee, they will have won at, which, you know, Tennessee's a decent team.
We've seen what happens with Baylor if they have one loss. They're in doubt. Because at the end of the day, they don't have enough. You know, last year their best win was Oklahoma, and that's all they had to lean on, and that's not enough.
Yeah, and
they didn't do enough. They didn't do enough in the non-conference, and that's what I tell you. Just in case your conference is down 1 year, I think everybody, and really, I wish it would be a rule that you had to schedule one other Power Five conference. I know that's not going to happen, but it should be a rule.
Well, some of the conferences are heading towards that. The SEC's been doing that.
And it just makes sense. And I mean, You know, I look at Alabama, and that's a team that, you know, is going to get the benefit of the doubt more than any other team in college football. You know, if you pile up all the one-loss schools and say, oh, which one are we going to take? It's typically going to be Alabama. They start out their season against Wisconsin. They don't have to do that. They could just say, oh, we're Alabama. We don't have to play anybody, and they'll still get in.
And that's the thing. I admire the school. I admire Arizona State for playing A&M. That's a team.
And vice versa.
Yeah, and every year LSU, this is the first year LSU hasn't had a high-profile game in forever to start the season. These guys always are playing in these. They're going to Dallas to play. They're coming here to Reliant to play. They're going to the Georgia Dome to play. And, you know, Ole Miss playing Boise State last year. Even if you play them. I mean, that's it, you don't think Boise would play Baylor? That's a good win. Or BYU. And BYU can adjust its schedule, man, especially as an independent.
Yeah.
You don't think they'd play? I think those opportunities are there. And while you have a good team, that's how you prove it.
Yep.
Anyway.
Auburn didn't have to play Louisville, but they did. I mean,
that's if you're Auburn, that's not a game, because that's a team that can beat you.
Yeah.
That's a well-coached team with some talent, and you're playing them on a neutral site.
And the reality
that's a
is,
team that can beat you.
Yeah, and in 2 weeks, you're going to LSU. You don't need that game. You don't need that Louisville game.
But the flip side is, if you're Auburn with the schedule you have, you might lose to Louisville. You don't lose again. You're getting in.
Yeah.
And that's one of the benefits to that.
And that's SEC. And really, that's almost any.
But see, and what the problem is, and I'll say, I give
anybody but the Big 12.
I give TCU a little credit, but hey, Oklahoma's playing at Tennessee. Texas went to Notre Dame. The problem is, those teams just aren't any good. I mean, Oklahoma maybe this year. We'll find out this week. They go in and beat Tennessee, then I think, you know, that's a team that could legitimately win the Big 12. And you can start looking at their schedule and say, okay, yeah, these guys are legitimate. And, you know, but that's why this is all subjective. That's why I love it, is because it's going to change in a week. And then you can all complain about something else. But Oklahoma always plays a big boy schedule outside of the Big 12. They always have a donkey team. But every year they've played somebody really good. And, you know, this year, yeah, they opened with Akron. Well, Akron used to be a pretty decent MAC-level program, but at Tennessee is no joke. That's pretty much it. Tulsa, they always play, which, you know, you play. There's a part of me that admires you for playing your in-state schools. But at least they've got – you get a win at Tennessee, that means something.
I got to look through it. I don't know if there's any other team who doesn't play – any other team besides Baylor who doesn't play a non Power 5, non-con game.
Of the teams that are,
well, the teams good. That are like in the top 25, I think they're for sure the only one. But I'm gonna do some research and see if there's any.
Well, and I realize they only get three out of conference games, but everybody else
make them count. Then
everybody else finds one good game to schedule. Like I said, that Minnesota game for TCU on the road wasn't an easy game. At Tennessee is not an easy game. At Notre Dame was not an easy game for Texas. You can't find one of those? And if you want to be a national championship contender, you can't just...
No, I found one already.
Yeah?
Arizona.
Who's Arizona play?
Arizona's non-conference schedule is UTSA, at Nevada, and Northern Arizona.
Mm.
But they also have 9 conference games. But still, if it comes down to it at the end of the year.
But that's the same thing you have in the Big 12. You have 9 conference games.
Yeah, at the end of the year, I'm punishing that team if it's them versus somebody else and they didn't try anything out of conference.
Yeah, and there's nothing.
They should be punished for
that. And there's nothing you can say to dispute that, because the other teams all went out. And this is what it comes down to: body of work and beauty contest. And if you want to win the beauty contest, that's great. Go run up 56 points on SMU.
Right.
But your body works. It's going to be the same thing that kept you out last year, unless you run a table. And if you run the table with wins over OU and TCU, congratulations. I still think you're going to wind up running into a better team in the playoff.
Eventually.
But anyway, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Did you miss the big draft party? We've got you covered with Fantasy Thursdays, courtesy of Bud Light. It's a daily fantasy game you can play each week. Your local fantasy expert, Jason Braddock, will be there to give you the tips for the week, and you'll get to play fantasy football for only the weekend. The player with the highest points scored will win $100 and be invited to play in the finals for a chance to win $2,000. This week's Fantasy Thursday is at Christian's Tailgate in Midtown from 5 until 7. You have to come out to get the code for the game and your chance to win from ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. And speaking of experts joining us now, as he does every week when he's not, you know, injuring himself gardening or driving to soccer practice or too drunk to call us, Jerome Solomon, Chronicle columnist. What's up, man?
I thought you were off today, or you or this faux friend.
No, I
there's more than one of you.
I had too much going on, man. I couldn't take the day off. We're working on this gambling audio book that I'm trying to finish, and you know, we got a bunch of good stuff happening here at the station. I'm just trying to do my job first and play poker second. So
that's the smart thing. Well, it's actually costing you money, probably, but hey, you know, it's your life.
In the long term, I think it's going to work out pretty well. So, your impressions of the first weekend of college football? We've been hitting that pretty hard today, but I know you're a little bit of a college football nerd too. What do you think of the weekend?
It went about like I expected. I mean, it's going to be a fun year because there just isn't a dominant team, even though, you know, Ohio State will certainly seem that way by the time the year is over and they run the table again probably, but. You know, there's so much quarterback change, and you know, teams playing two quarterbacks. Alabama playing a couple of them. Teams like A&M look so good because they're just a well-coached team. Kevin Sumlin knows what he's doing, and granted, it took him 7 or 8 years to decide, hey, maybe I can play a little defense, and we can win some games with that too. But now that he's got a legitimate defensive coach and some defensive players, that's going to be a fun thing to watch. And I don't know what to say about Texas. I mean, Charlie Strong, the quotes that came from him from yesterday's media luncheon looks like the things that he should have said the day he was hired. We've got to evaluate everything, start from scratch, and it's like, okay, well, you should have said that a year and a half ago. So he's way behind where he should be, and I expect to see a dramatic improvement against Rice this week for Texas. But the program as a whole has a long way to go, and if it, you know, teeters around like this for much longer, Charlie won't be there when it goes, that's for sure.
I want to ask you, I don't know if you saw this, but the first person piece that Tom Herman wrote for Sports Illustrated, which I thought was very interesting. It gave a lot of insight into, it was just totally weird for me to see a coach go that in depth into sort of peeling the curtain back. Did you get a chance to look at that?
Yeah. He's an interesting guy. He's a different sort of coach. I mean, obviously he's come from, you know, the bare bottom, the bottom rung, I mean, as it were, in life and in the coaching profession. I mean, his first job was, you know, at Texas Lutheran, where he made $5,000 a year, and more importantly, he got two meals a day on the meal plan, and that was his thing. And you know, now he's where he is now. I mean, he's a guy who is a very smart coach, and unlike Bill O'Brien, I mean, he actually has the card to prove it since he's a Mensa member, and he's learned from some of the best in the business, and he's going to put it all out there after the game Saturday night. He came into the media room, and it was late. And he was late. He didn't care. He wasn't as concerned about all of that. There was a fire alarm going off, and he's like, well, we can't really do an interview with all this noise. And he told his son, hey, stand up and tell some jokes. And most coaches keep their kids totally away from us and far distant from us as they could. He didn't care. He had his kid up there past performing for us while we were waiting on the fire alarm to go off. He's a fairly open guy, from what I can tell. He's going to be that way. All coaches will tighten up as they get deeper and deeper into it. But he believes in himself. That's the key. When you really think you know what you're doing, you're not worried about all the little things. You're worried about the big picture. And the big picture is the guy thinks he's going to be a great head coach. And I can't argue with him on that at all.
Jerome Solomon, our guest, Houston Chronicle columnist. All right, let's talk about these Texans. They've gotten through their roster moves. Not too many surprises. What do you think this team is going to be this year?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm thinking if, you know, Brian Hoyer can play just well below average, which would be an improvement for him, they can win. They can go about 8-8. That can jump to 9-7 if they steal a win somewhere because the defense is just that dominant. And that can slip to 6-10 if, you know, the defense slips and blows one. Or Blake Bortles, who looked spectacular in preseason games that I watched, messes around and turns those automatic wins against Jacksonville into a victory. I think they still get automatic win against Tampa and the two wins against the Titans. But, you know, you might not be able to beat Jacksonville. You can't just say you're going to go into Miami and win that game. And so it's an interesting year in trying to figure out when does Ryan Mallett play, how long does it take before Brian Hoyer completely falls apart. But their schedule still sets up for them to get off to a good start with or without. It's going to be without Arian Foster. When he comes back, when they really need him, is he going to be able to sustain it for a while and carry the offense a little bit? It'll be interesting to see. 8-8 is still about all I can give him right now, though.
Jerome, you were the first person to show me the video of those high school kids smashing that referee, and it was like 2 a.m. where I happened to see you out and about on Friday night.
And I can't believe you were just laughing like that. There was nothing funny about that.
Nothing funny at all.
It was disgusting. It was horrible. And you were just cracking up.
Oh, I was laughing really hard. But what do you think of the punishment that's come down for these kids?
Thus far, anyway, I don't know if anything else happened today. Yeah, I think they obviously should be suspended. But didn't we see something earlier today that the assistant coach said?
What do you think of the possibility of, you know, criminal charges and things like that? Do you think that should be in play?
I think that, you know, sometimes we go a little overboard on these and people freak out. Yeah, you could press charges on them, but give me a break. I mean, they're kids in a game, and they overreacted and did something ridiculous and stupid. But I just don't believe they would do that on their own. And we see that the assistant coach who's been suspended allegedly may have said this referee needs to get got. So he kind of ordered the code red. And I think when we investigate a little more, we'll find out. And I just can't see two safeties looking at each other in the middle of the game saying, hey, man, next whistle, we just going to go knock the referee out, okay? Kids are stupid. They're not. Well, they are.
They are stupid.
It would be amazing to get two of them that stupid in that situation right then to do that when they, you know. So I'm not buying it totally, it being on them. I have no problem with them being kicked off the team permanently, being expelled from school for a period of time. If I were the ref, I wouldn't press charges. They're darn teenagers. Give me a break. It's not like they, you know, jacked him in the parking lot or something. But I'm not going to criticize the ref if he does press charges, but I wouldn't.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say you're walking across a parking lot, and somebody didn't like what you wrote, so they tell two kids, man, we're going to get that guy. And so they tackle you. Are you pressing charges?
In the parking lot?
Yeah, you land on grass.
Yeah,
you're
yes,
fine.
Yes,
you land on grass.
Yes, in the parking lot. But if I'm on the basketball court, part of the game, part of the sport, and a coach orders his players to do something – no, I'm not pressing charges. I'm going after the coach. I'm going after the adult, not the children. It's the same. We've seen that. You watch the Friday Night Tykes, and you've seen what these moron coaches can do and tell players to do. And players, they'll tell you immediately, I will run through a wall for this coach. They still say it. Grown men will say what they'll do for their coach. So, I mean, I'm not saying the kids aren't responsible. Don't miss that. But if the coach told them to do it, I hold them a lot less responsible than the coach. I hold adults to a completely different standard than children.
No, I'm 100% with you on that. I even said that yesterday. I want to find out if a coach told them to do it. But if two guys if they did that on their own, then yeah, it is assault. Just because it's on a football field doesn't mean you can get away with it. So
In football, every play is assault, Fred.
On players.
Every play is against the law.
On players, not intentional attacks on guys who are refs, man. That's not the same thing.
You try to take it and say in a parking lot. Well, they're not playing in a parking lot. They're on a field.
But what's the difference? There's no difference. There's no difference. If you're attacking a guy from behind, blindsiding him, who's not supposed to be in the play, just the same as somebody attacking you in the parking lot, it's an assault, man. Yeah. There's no difference.
So now
it's not okay because it's football.
So you want quarterbacks to press charge against the defensive line?
No, because they're supposed to get hit, you knucklehead. They're out there playing to get hit. I regret asking this question.
But what if he's a kicker?
What a fool I was.
You think a kicker who is not supposed to get hit is
the guy wearing pads is expecting to get hit, Jerome. That's why he's wearing pads.
No, that's not true. So when Buddy Ryan told his guys to go kick out the kicker, to the press charges.
You know what? We got to cut you. This is so awful. You were so awful today, Jerome.
The kicker.
My God.
The kicker is less involved in the game than the referee.
Get out of here. Nice try. That's it. We're taking a break.
And we're talking children here, Fred.
Children, get out of here. Quick break. New one from Justin Van Zandt, correct?
Yes, it is.
Recognize that voice anywhere.
I thought he was going to write you a Fred song.
Well, one of these days, that's got to happen, man.
So he sent you this before he wrote you a Blitz song?
We haven't written a Blitz song yet.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Most people wondering what the hell is wrong with Jerome. I don't know. It was fun, though. I love tweaking Jerome. All right, we come back. I've got so many gems of the day, I don't know which one to use. It's that wide open. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Well, that was fun. All right. Before we get to gym of the day, just because I'm kind of curious now, we actually have a high school ref on the phone. Can we take him? And then we'll do gym of the day. Travis, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. Hey, man. First of all, I've always kind of like assumed, but what do you make to ref one of these games a week? It's like $50 a week?
It actually depends. The average is about $65 a game.
Okay.
But if you travel to, 100 miles away, which I have, we get paid by the mile as well. And it also based on the attendance. I mean, if you get a Cy Fair against Cy Creek football game when there's 10,000 people there, you're going to make a little bit more.
Right.
But the number one goal of a high school referee is to assure the safety of the student athletes. The players on that team did not assure the safety of the referees. If they are not kicked out of UIL for not only football, but the entire year of athletics, it would be a travesty.
What if that coach told him to do this? I mean,
then he needs to be fired, and the players should be accountable for their actions. If I told you to go rob a bank and you did, do you think somebody's going to come after me? No, they're going to come after you. All right? Their actions, they're accountable for their actions. Just like if they face masks, they're accountable. Coach is going to get on their butt. All right? If a coach told them to go out and do that, they still are 18, 17, 18, some even 19 years old, and they know the difference between right and wrong.
Well, they should have watched A Few Good Men. They know that they were supposed to.
Red.
Yeah.
They should tell their coach, hey, excuse me, sorry, I'm not going
to
do that.
They're supposed to fight for Willie.
For that, I'll go to the board.
See, I got to say this. I can't make a fair judgment of what the punishment should be because I didn't see the bad call. If I want to know how egregious it was and if it was warranted, because
we're not perfect, guys. We're not perfect. I tell a coach every once in a while, hey, you know what? That was a bad call. I'm sorry.
What about
and the best you can do is apologize to the coach, and the coach has the integrity to say, you know what, thank you for telling me that. I accept your apology. It's over. Once, I mean, we got two eyes. That's it.
And what,
so
what,
we make mistakes too, and you know you can't sit there and do what those kids did. Those kids are held responsible. They need to be held responsible.
What about what Jerome was saying about, you know, fair game? It's on a football field. It's not the same as if it's in a parking lot.
He's an idiot.
Okay. Just checking. It seems to be a consensus there. Anyway, appreciate the phone call, Travis. Thanks,
hey, guys.
Man.
Take care, man. Bye.
All right.
John, you used to referee high school games?
No, I used to. Well, I did 1 year of officials. Funny enough, I was in college, and I heard a commercial on 610. And they had, a couple people.
That's a mistake right there.
Yeah, well,
that station's gone downhill.
Anyway, they had a segment with these high school officials. They said, if you're looking to make a couple bucks here and there, I was a broke college kid writing, you know, columns and stuff for the school paper for $10 a column.
You
so
got
I needed,
paid? You got paid for doing that?
Yeah, I got $10 a column, and I had to
do it for free when I was in school.
And then I got $7 for I got $10 a story and $7 for a column. Anyway, I need
it. So your columns weren't as good as what you're telling me.
Yeah, well, I covered the football team, so they asked me to travel. I got to travel for free and all this stuff. But anyway, I got $10 for the preview of the story, the game story, and anything past that. Anyway, so I was looking for money, and I signed up for this officials thing. So what they do with first-year officials is they have you start off on middle school games. Those pay about $45 a game. And I did about two or three of those a week. And at the end of the week, for those big high school football games, I got asked to do chains. Doing chains, I got $90 a game to do chains.
Wow.
So it all depends. Like the guy said, it averages out to be about $50 a week or per game.
Did you ever really screw up once, though?
Yes. When I was the only official at the junior high game, I screwed up really, really bad, and it was like my second game in. I didn't keep a running clock for in between snaps. I didn't keep that, and one of the coaches complained, and I started keeping it, and the other coach complained and said, well, if you do it for that side of the ball, you have to do it for the other side of the ball. So I, careless to say, I did a very, very poor job, and I got yelled at when I was walking off the field.
So I was umpiring a game once behind the plate, and I honestly couldn't see that the catcher didn't have the ball, and I called the guy out. And once they untangled and he got up and went back to the dugout, you know, the coach is yelling at me and stuff.
Hold on, you were umpiring a high school baseball game?
It was a junior high game.
Oh, okay.
And turns out that the ball was never in his mitt. It basically was hiding behind his leg, and I never saw it. And then once I saw it, I was like, I felt like garbage about it. And you know, I'm getting yelled at. It's like, man, I didn't see the ball. You're right. I screwed it up. And, man, he was just unloading on me. It was brutal.
TJ says, SportsCenter reporting the ref used racial slurs against the two high school kids. Does that change your opinion? No, because, first of all, isn't the first kid that hit him white? Or at least, like, from the crappy video I've seen, it looks white.
I can't tell.
But either way, someone tweeted.
It's not an excuse for violence.
Yeah.
It never is. I mean, ignorance is not a reason to go and do something like that. Basically, you report the guy. If that's true, you report him to your coaches. You report, and the school files a complaint. But you can't do that, man.
And someone was tweeting earlier at Craig Way and Rod Babers, my old co-host there in Austin, and they retweeted it. But a bunch of people giving this guy character references, saying there's basically near zero chance that man would utter a racial slur. And at this point, I think those kids are probably just trying to grasp for straws at, you know, what can we say that makes us look better?
Well, and unfortunately, that's become a go-to thing for people that do something stupid. I've seen that a lot lately where it's, oh, well, he used a racial slur. Okay. That doesn't excuse you for what you did. And, I mean, that, unfortunately, I think it belittles when people do use a racial slur when you go to it as an excuse. And I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but I find it hard to believe that that a ref would be doing that where people can hear him. And, you know, the other team would hear it too. Other people would come forward and say, yeah, well, that's what was going on. You think the other team wants to hear that?
Yeah.
That's just, yeah. All right, guys. got to tell you about Tupelo's and what a great place that is. We're going to be going out there pretty soon. Chip and his team are terrific. Football season's here. This is your place to watch college football, NFL. You still got time to plan your fantasy draft parties, at least one more night. And, of course, Monday Night Football, and we're going to be out there for a lot of those. Don't forget, get out there, watch the Astros in the playoffs. All of the things that you love to watch are right there at Tupelo's. There's not a bad seat in the house, no matter where you sit. You can see every TV, and the food is fantastic. This is not your average sports bar menu. And, by the way, they got the big charity golf tournament coming up October 12th at the Woodlands Country Club's Palmer Course. You can register as an individual and be placed on a four-player team for $175, or you can register a four-player team for $500. And this is your chance to kick all of our butts at golf. So all proceeds benefit the Easter Seals of Greater Houston. So it's a terrific cause that's coming up October 12th at the Woodlands Country Club. So get signed up. And in the meantime, man, if you're up north, just a great place for the entire family. You'll always see a nice mix of dudes and their friends, as well as entire families with kids. You're not going to be out of place with the kids, so bring them with you, and they won't bother you if you're coming without any. You know I love Tupelo's. We're out there all the time telling you it's the kind of place you can really make your home away from home. It's my place on the north side. It should be yours. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. Tell them I sent you. They will take care of you. It's a great, great place. It's Tupelo's, Tupelo's.com. Get yourself and the kid fans. Oh, just another wall between you, reinforced by your regrets.
I'm going to need you to lower your expectations a little bit.
What the? KFMC. Mud Bellevue, Houston. ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.